translation by Srila Prabhupada. The demon continued, "When you fall dead, with your skull smashed by the mace hurled by my arms, the demigods and sages who offer you oblations and sacrifice in devotional service will also automatically cease to exist like trees without roots." Purport. Demons are very much disturbed when devotees worship the Lord in the prescribed ways recommended in the scriptures. In the Vedic scriptures, the neophyte devotees are advised to engage in 9 kinds of devotional service, such as to hear and chant the holy name of the Lord, to remember him always, to chant on beads, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, to worship the Lord in the form of the deity incarnation in the temples, and to engage in various activities of Krishna consciousness to increase the number of godly persons for perfect peace in the world. Demons do not like such activity. They are always envious of God and his devotees. Their propaganda not to worship in the temple or church, but simply to make material advancement for satisfaction of the senses is always current. The demon Hiranyaksha, upon seeing the Lord face to face, wanted to make a permanent solution by killing the personality of Godhead with his powerful mace. The example of an uprooted tree mentioned here by the demon is very significant. Devotees accept that God is the root of everything. Their example is that just as the stomach is the source of energy of all the limbs of the body, God is the original source of all energy manifested in the material and spiritual worlds. Therefore, as supplying food to the stomach is the process to satisfy all the limbs of the body, Krishna consciousness, or developing love of Krishna, is a sublime method for satisfying the source of all happiness. The demon wants to uproot this source, because if the root, God, were to be checked, the activities of the Lord and the devotees would automatically stop. The demon would be very much satisfied by such a situation in society. Demons are always anxious to have a godless society for their sense gratification. According to Sridhar Swami, this verse means that when the demon would be deprived of his mace by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not only the neophyte devotees, but also the ancient, sagacious devotees of the Lord would be very much satisfied. Mukamakaroti vachalam bhangam langete grim yakipam tamam monde sigurum dinatarinum. Omagana tivanasya gananjara shakaya chakshuminitam yena tasamai shigurvedama. So it's nothing new that the demons are trying to stop the activities of the devotees. It's been going on since the beginning of time. There's 2 kinds of beings in this material world, the demons and the devotees. So demons want to kill Krishna, they want to kill God, and the devotees want to love God and worship God. So 2 kinds of processes, kill God and serve God, by the 9 processes of devotional service. So the demons will be very happy if the devotees see, because God is their competitor. He sees, this is my enemy, this is my competitor. He's getting all the worship. I should get all the worship. If I kill him, then they'll worship me. I'll get all these new devotees for myself. Because they think that God is their competitor. He's a really big competitor. Nobody else could compete with Hiranyaksha except Vishnu. So here he found somebody. So if he's my competitor, he's my enemy. So I should do something about that. So Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, they were the first demons in this birth. In the next birth, they'll come back as Kumbhakarna and Ravana. So in this life, Hiranyaksha stole the earth. In the next life, Ravana will steal Sita. They're always trying to get what is actually enjoyable by the Lord and enjoy themselves. This is their plan. And so, but the rules of the universe are not like that. So they want to disturb the rules. Ravana, he wanted to build a staircase to the heavenly planets so that even demons could go there and unqualified people could go to the heavenly planets. So Prabhupada compares that to the current scientists who want to go to the moon and to the other planets, that they're trying to go without qualification. He said they are not going, but still they're taking money from the taxpayer to go. And that's how they live. They live by cheating the ordinary people who believe what they see in the newspapers. Actually, but it's not a fact. Prabhupada, right in the beginning, he said they didn't go to the moon. Even when they were showing it on TV, he said, no, they didn't. Now many people agree they didn't go to the moon, but they still think they can go to Mars and other planets. We don't hear about the moon so much lately. That topic is dropped. But this is the plan of the demons, that up is down, down is up, that we should be in control of the world. The demons should be in control. That way we can enjoy everything that God and the devotees should have. So they're envious. Everything is based on envy, competition. Just like when Srila Prabhupada went to Japan and he was talking with the executives of Dainapan company, not that they were demons, but they're examples of the material world, the struggle for existence. So he talked to one of the executives that, what is your goal in life? And the executive showed him a stack of calling cards for each of the executives, for each of the people in the company, and his was on the bottom. And he took his card from the bottom and put it on the top. Yeah, this is my goal of life. And so this is the, and in order to do that, then the other ones have to go down. So this is the, they have to put somebody down to get themselves on top. So this is the demoniac mentality. But the devotees, they are different. They want to take the opulences which belong to Krishna. We take what is our quota, we don't take extra. And whatever is not our quota, we offer it to Krishna for his enjoyment. Even our quota, we often offer to Krishna. Everything we offer to Krishna for his enjoyment. And then we take his mercy, we take prasadam. So Prabhupada mentions the nine processes of devotional service. And very specifically, he talks about hearing and chanting the holy name, remembering. So these are some of the nine. And he mentions four of the processes, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam. No, five actually. Archanam, deity worship, and then to preach, preaching Krishna consciousness, to increase the number of godly persons for perfect peace in the world. Many, many purports, Prabhupada would say the same thing. So in order to advance in devotional service, we have to do this. Prabhupada gave me an initiation letter in 1971. He sent me a letter. I wrote him a letter, and then he wrote me back. And I had to string my own beads, and I sent him my beads and a letter, and he's from to India. Somehow it got there and it got back, which is quite extraordinary for India in 1971. We couldn't even, you know, one time in Vrindavan, all the mail was going down the Jumuna River. I don't know if that's how they send it, but I don't think it would get to the destination easily. You know, basically, we were cut off from the rest of the world in India. But in my initiation letter, he gave me six instructions. And he said to chant at least 16 rounds, follow strictly the four regulative principles. And he said, read and study all my books, and go and sing kirtan and preach, and do deity worship. And then 24 hours be engaged in service. So many, many times he gave those instructions to his disciples, but we should do these things. And so I've tried to do that in my life. Then he gave me a second letter out of the blue, how to do these things, in what consciousness. And he told me three things are very important. The first, you should be enthusiastic, and second, sincerity. And the third one is cooperation with the rest of the devotees. So two are like personal items, and then the third one is, we're not just an island, we're part of society. So we have to cooperate with the rest of the devotees. It took me a long time to realize that even more than cooperation, we need to try to learn from the devotees when I first was a new devotee, I was thinking, okay, I have to tolerate so many things. After a while, I thought, oh, they have to tolerate me now. You kind of make a little advancement, and you realize that you're also a problem, your consciousness. And then after a while, I realized, actually, I don't know anything. I'm just a beginner here. And I should try to get more association of devotees. So we need to understand Krishna to go back to Godhead, and the devotees will help us do that. Srila Prabhupada said in one purport in Bhagavad Gita, the end of the second chapter, that one can attain Krishna consciousness or divine life at once, within a second, or one may not attain such a state of life even after millions of births. Then he said there's two things. It is only a matter of understanding and accepting the fact. How can you be Krishna conscious in a second? Prabhupada said two things. Understanding and accepting the fact. So he said, then he gives the example of Katvanga Maharaj. He attained this state in the last few minutes before his death by surrendering to Krishna. So what does that mean to understand and accept the fact? Understanding we may do theoretically or mentally. Yes, I understand. I'm a servant of Krishna. I am not this body. But we need to go beyond that. And that is, so theoretical knowledge is not enough. We must have realized knowledge. So understanding, okay, that's nice. Like you understand who you are. But then you have to accept it. I am a servant of Krishna. What does that mean? There are certain principles that we have in spiritual life. And then if you understand a principle, then you will lead your life according to that principle. So here is a principle that understanding, I am servant of Krishna. And then that means apply it to your life. Okay, accept the fact, I'm a servant of Krishna. Therefore, what is that? I have to do some service for Krishna. So it's very interesting. Last night in the night program, I was asking, they were studying Nectar of Devotion, so I asked, what did you learn from your study? And one of the ladies, she said, I learned that devotional service means activity. And this is, Prabhupada said, this is a symptom of love. When you love someone, then you will do some activity for that person. And so, yes, this means accepting the fact, yes, I am a servant of Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Let me do something to make him happy. Let me show my love for him somehow or other. So if you read Bhagavad Gita, we'll understand Krishna. But then at the end, Krishna makes a request of us. What is that request? Sarvadharmam pritaja, mamekam sharanam raja, surrender to me. So if you really understand Bhagavad Gita, then after reading it, you will surrender to Krishna. You'll realize, yes, I should surrender. So we need to understand Krishna. He says in the fourth chapter, verse 9, janma karma chamedivyam evam yoveti tatvata takta deham punar janma naiti mameti sorjana. Then anyone who understands my birth and activities at the end of this life, he will come to me. So what does it mean to understand Krishna's birth and activities? I was just reading Bhagavatam, first canto, and it said a very interesting thing. It says, if you recite this third chapter about the incarnations of Krishna, morning and evening, then you will be liberated. And Prabhupada in the purport, he said, if you recite these chapters morning and evening, you will understand Krishna's birth and activities and be liberated. So he put in, I thought, well, that's an explanation of this Bhagavad Gita verse. Bhagavatam is actually an expansion of Bhagavad Gita. Gita is like a seed. It gives you all the seeds. And Bhagavatam is like the plant that grows and has fruits and flowers. And so your seeds, when you get the seeds in Bhagavad Gita, then you read Bhagavatam, and you see, oh, this is what it's going to look like if I follow what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. It will expand into these fruits and flowers. So how to accept Krishna? We must accept the fact that I am a servant of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has told that when we chant Hare Krishna, we must chant like a child crying for its mother, if you hear the first lecture on chanting the holy name. And then he says, Mother Hara helps the living entity achieve the grace of the Lord Hari. And so Mother Hara, that is Radharani, if we cry loud enough, Radharani will hear us and pick us up. So we should definitely not forget Hari, the part of the Hare Krishna mantra that says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare, 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 Radharani, please give me the mercy of Krishna. We're calling like a child crying for his mother. And he, Prabhupada in a lecture said, we must beg and cry, Krishna, please accept me. So when we chant nicely, then we have this prayer. And if we chant very attentively, then Krishna will come. Prabhupada said, Krishna will come when we chant nicely. And what will Krishna say? He will say, please accept me. Please accept me. Because we don't accept Krishna. We're in our own mind, in the prison of our mind. So another lecture, Prabhupada says that when you wake up in the morning, you think, I have so many problems to solve. But actually, we have only one problem, and that is how to accept Krishna. So you can think of that during your day. How to accept Krishna? How is he coming to me? Sometimes like a thunderbolt, sometimes like a rose. But we have to accept, this is Krishna's mercy. He's coming to me. So how to increase our attachment for Krishna? Prabhupada talks about love of Godhead, that we want to have love of Godhead by following these nine processes of devotional service. In another purport, he makes a very similar statement in the ninth canto, that if you daily see the deity, well, he adds another one. We have, you should make offering, worship the deity, chant the holy name, preach, and see the deity in the temple, then you can make advancement. So this is called asakti. You get attached when you see the deity. You get attached when you preach, when you talk about Krishna, who you love very much. And then when you tell people about him, then you become attached, more attached to him. Maya Saktamana. So then Shukadeva Goswami also said a very similar thing. Again, Bhagavatam is an expansion. He says, Yat kirtanam yat smaranam yat ikshanam yat vandanam yat shavanam yat arhanam lakasya sadya vitunauti kirsham tasmai subhadra shavase namo namaha. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all auspicious Lord Shri Krishna, about whom glorification, remembrance, audience, prayers, hearing, and worship can at once cleanse the effects of all sins of the performer. So here we have the usual things, but there's something that Shukadev adds to the list of the nine processes of devotional service. We have Shravanam, Kirtanam, and we have Ikshanam. See. Just see the deity. Prabhupada said, yes, you come, you just sit in front of the deities and look at them. And that will help you advance the spiritual life. The children can do this. They can just look at the deity. Appreciate how beautiful they are. How beautiful the garlands are. How they make the garlands beautiful themselves. How nicely they're decorated, their turbans. Just appreciate the deities. And also, he expanded that ikshanam to book distribution. Prabhupada said, seeing means you show them the book and they see the picture. If they see the picture or they see the book, that is also as good as seeing the deity in the temple. And that's counted. So I'll tell a story again about this. I told it last night, maybe last month, I don't remember, but it's worth telling again. So there was one book distributor out on Sankirtan, and he sold a Bhagavad Gita to one man. Man took it home. His roommate was a drunkard. And the drunkard picked up the Bhagavad Gita. He read one line, as the embodied soul passes from childhood to youth to old age, similarly he passes into another body at death. So then he threw that book. Oh, this is really bad. This is nonsense. But the day came when the drunkard drank too much, became unconscious, went to Yamaraj, Lord of Death. And Yamaraj said, you are very sinful. You must suffer so much. What are you going to do now? And the drunkard said, as the embodied soul passes from childhood to youth to old age, similarly the soul passes into another body at death. Yamaraj sent him back. He came to consciousness. And what was that? So he picked up the Gita. He read the whole Gita. And then after that, he found the address, joined the temple, became brahmachari. This is a true story, actually, in Eastern Europe, as far as I remember. And but then a day came after about 6 months, he was saying, this is really too much austerity for me. I must have a drink, then I'll feel better. Went to the bar, started drinking again. And the night came and the bartender said, you have to leave, we're closing now. And then he said to that drunkard, what are you going to do now? And he had such a fright, because that's what Yamaraj said to him. He said, oh no, my God, I'm going back to Yamaraj. I better go back to the temple. Now, Krishna has a way of getting us back if we forget. We try to forget him. So even if you, now once you get a taste, once you start chanting, then Krishna will never let you go. This is Krishna. He's very attached to you. Also, you chant a little bit, and he becomes attached to you, and he won't let you go away. So, yad ikshanam, book distribution. So if your mind is so disturbed, you just come in front and look at the deities. And if you cannot chant or you cannot hear, just like the children, Prabhupada says. And if you're still more intelligent, you can offer prayers. Come in front and offer prayers to the deities. And hearing, chanting, arhanam. And he said, and if you're expert, you're trained by your spiritual master, you can do deity worship. We have the example there of someone who is expert taking the offering jai. So very nice we have these illustrations of what Prabhupada is saying. And so simply by doing these practices, all the dirty things will be washed off from our heart. So then, this verse is very similar to a verse in Bhagavad Gita. Man mana bhavavad bhakto majaji man maskuru. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer obeisances to me. The same theme runs throughout everything, but this is like an expansion of that verse. And then I would like to also share with you the next verse. This was verse 15 of Shukadev's prayers, canto 2, chapter 4. And verse 16 is an expansion of Sarvadharma Paritya Mamekam Sharanam. It's an expansion of give up all varieties of religion and surrender to me. So we will see, and there's an upgrade in this verse. So listen and see if you can get the upgrade. In verse 1866, Krishna says, surrender to me, I will protect you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So let's hear what this verse says. Let me offer my respectful obeisances again and again to the all-auspicious Lord Shri Krishna, the highly intellectual. Simply by surrendering unto his lotus feet, are relieved of all attachments to present and future existences, and without difficulty progress towards spiritual existence. Anybody get that upgrade? It is in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I'll protect you from all your past sinful reaction. And in this verse, yes?
It's one will become purified and you will progress towards.
Okay, you will progress, yes? Present and future also. In Gita, it's past. And in this verse, you'll be relieved of all attachments to present and future existences. So even the past, present, and future, they're all covered now. Gita covers the past, and now this is expanded to present and future. We have attachments now, and we'll have attachments in the future. So we will be protected from those as well, according to Shukadev. A devotee, if a devotee says something, then it must happen. A pure devotee. So the words came out of Shukadev's mouth, and so it must be true. That present and future. And also yesterday in the home program, they were saying people, when they hear Krishna tells people to surrender, they don't understand. They say, why should I surrender to him? Who is he? So Prabhupada, he gives a very wonderful translation in the purport of this verse of Shukadev of this 1866. He says, "My dear Arjuna, you are very dear to me. Therefore, only for your good, I will disclose the most secret part of my instructions." So here's the good part. "It is simply this: become a pure devotee of mine and give yourself to me only." So it's quite a different, like Krishna demands, surrender to me. Now here Prabhupada says, "Give yourself to me, and I promise you full spiritual existence by which you may gain the eternal right of transcendental loving service unto me." So when you say, "Give yourself to me," that gives you the impression of a lover and beloved. Give yourself to me. Surrender means, okay, a master and servant. Like you might feel, "Oh, I might get exploited if I surrender." In this world, we surrender to people and we can get taken advantage of or exploited. So Prabhupada gives a beautiful translation, 2.4.16, in the purport, that "give yourself to me, and I promise you full spiritual existence." So in Bhagavad Gita, again, the same verse, Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna is calling us. There is a call of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, and it is that verse, "Surrender to me." Now, why should we surrender? Prahlad Maharaj, in his prayers, he gives us some good reasons why. Why we should surrender to Krishna. First of all, he says, "The mind is trapping me with so many desires." We're in a self-made prison of our mind. A self-made prison. We can't get out. So that is the first problem. That's why we should surrender. If we surrender, we'll get out free from the prison of our mind. Second reason, he says, "I'm being crushed by time. I'm being crushed. Time is crushing me." So Prabhupada, in the purport of that Prahlad verse, says all of human society must take advantage of Krishna's offer and surrender to him. And you'll be saved from the danger of being crushed by the wheel of time. So, and then again, another reason why we should surrender. Of course, Prabhupada, there's a very nice lecture he gave on that verse. I'll share that with you about the being crushed by time. So we may say to Krishna, "Okay, please take me, please accept me, please pick me up. I've fallen into this ocean of material existence. Please pick me up." And so Prabhupada takes the side of Krishna, and Krishna says, "Well, why should I pick you up?" And so then Prabhupada says, "No, I'm surrendering to you now, so that's why. You should pick me up because I'm surrendering. And you pick up your surrendered devotees. I realized I'm in danger, I'm suffering, I'm being crushed, I rebelled against you, but now I surrender. Please accept me." So that's the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. "Please engage me in your service, O Radha, O Krishna. Please engage me in your service. Please accept me." So reasons why we should surrender: we're being crushed, we're in the prison of our mind, and this world is temporary. It's here today and gone tomorrow. And we have experience that people rise to very high positions and then they are removed within a second. Christ Church had an earthquake, and within 45 seconds the whole business district was finished. I saw the video. It was like all the smoke was coming up, and that was the end of the business district in Christ Church. So very temporary. And when I visited there right after that earthquake, a year after, they had all of these signs for speed limit. And just like here, they have 100 or they have 60. But there it was different. They had 30, and written underneath was temporary. 40, temporary. 50, temporary. You really got the idea, it's temporary. When you went over there. And then there were signs like written, like graffiti on the buildings, that move to such and such address, temporary. So the whole place is like temporary, because now they want to tear everything down and make a lot of hospitals and fire engine places and all those kind of things. So everything is very temporary there. But actually, even here it's temporary, but we don't think so. We don't realize it. Yes, it's temporary. So, Prabhupada saw one sign, detour. Temporary inconvenience, permanent improvement. And his comment was, this material world is permanent inconvenience and no temporary improvement. No improvement. Permanent inconvenience, no improvement at all. So that's the news of this material world. So therefore we need to surrender to Krishna to get eternal happiness. This here is only temporary. Another reason why to surrender is that there's no happiness here. It's like a mirage in the desert. One of the prayers of Prahlad. So this is the news. Yudhisthira Maharaj in Mahabharata, he was asked, what is the news? So what is the news? And his answer was, this world is like a big frying pan. And everybody is being fried in this pan. And some are well done, and some are cooked, fried, completely fried. So this is the news. And the sun is the fire, and the fuel is the days and nights. And guess who is the cook? Time. Time is the cook. Time is cooking us. Or crushing us, whichever way you like to see it. So this is the nature of this material world. Therefore we should surrender to Krishna and we will escape. We will escape the crushing, we will escape the cooking of time. Devotees, they go beyond time. Srila Prabhupada was beyond time. He had no problem with the time zones. When he would travel, all his servants had a problem. He would come to a place and say, okay, time for lunch. 11 o'clock, time for a massage. Devotees would be completely finished. Servants. And they were 20 years old. Prabhupada was 70-something. And time zones didn't bother him at all. It was like nothing happened. And then when the devotees were sleeping, he would say, what's wrong with you? Why are you asleep? On the airplane, devotees would be sleeping. And he says, everyone else is awake. Why are you sleeping? You're in Maya. And so the poor devotees, that 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours sleep. There was one, Bhaktadas. Yeah, that was the initiated name. And one time he asked the devotees in Los Angeles, or San Francisco, one of the West Coast cities, how many of you are chanting 16 rounds? Nobody raised their hand. How many of you are not chanting 16 rounds? Nobody raised their hand. Says, how many of you can tell the truth? So then Bhaktadas raised his hand. He says, I'm doing 20-hour service, so I don't have time to chant my rounds. I only sleep 4 hours. So Prabhupada said, then don't sleep. So Bhaktadas took that instruction to heart, and he was 2 hours sleeping, and 2 hours he would go in the shower, turn on the shower, and chant his rounds so he wouldn't fall asleep while he was chanting. But then he got a reward from Prabhupada. One time he was in India with Srila Prabhupada and they went on a program to some life member's house. And Bhaktadas, as usual, was sleeping in the class. And Prabhupada said, you go and have rest in the other room. And so he happily went there. There was twin beds and he went and slept in one. But then he heard some noise after a while, and Prabhupada came in, and Prabhupada was going to take rest right next to him. And he was ready to get up. Prabhupada said, no, you stay. So he got to sleep next to Srila Prabhupada. Because he gave up his sleep. Prabhupada told him, he followed that instruction. He took that instruction to heart. And so, if we surrender to Krishna, then we will be saved from the prison of our mind, from the crushing of time, from the temporary nature of this world. And a positive thing that will happen also, if we surrender to Krishna, we will get causeless mercy. And Prahlad appreciated that. He got special mercy that Lord Krishna put, Nrisimhadev put his hand on Prahlad's head, and nobody else got that benediction, Brahma, Shiva, Lakshmi, they didn't get that. Even Lakshmi didn't get. So he was appreciating. So if we follow this process of devotional service, chant Hare Krishna and preach, we'll develop attachment for Krishna and we'll go back to Godhead. So I'll stop here if you have any questions or comments on this verse.
Extension of 1866
is 2416. You want to hear the verse or the number is enough? It's a prayer of Shukadev. 2416. Yeah? These prayers of Shukadev, they have a lot of jewels inside. All the prayers, actually. That's what I like to give seminars on the prayers because they're so amazing. And 2415 was 1865. 15 and 16, 65, 66. Even the numbers are similar. You've got 5 and 6. 2415 corresponds to 1865. And Prabhupada says that in the purport, he quotes 1865 and 66 in the purport of 16, but he gives a beautiful translation. So yeah, if you scrutinizingly study purports and Bhagavatam, you'll catch wonderful things there. How is an expansion of Bhagavad Gita, Kapiladeva Sankhya philosophy, expansion of 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, huge expansion. So many more things are included in the Sankhya philosophy. But the whole Gita is like that. And then Uddhava Gita is another expansion, whole expansion of Bhagavad Gita. In chapter 2, you get the 24 gurus of Uddhava Gita, which teach detachment and the difference between spirit and matter. Actually, the whole Uddhava Gita teaches the difference between spirit and matter and why you should be detached, why you should perform devotional service. Okay, any other question? Yeah. Okay, one more and then yours.
You were saying that in order to be able to surrender, we have to understand Krishna, right? Prabhupada was saying understanding comes before surrender and before service, right?
Yeah. Well, understanding comes before attachment and liberation.
Yeah.
Not before service. Service is always there, but it comes before attachment, asakti.
Understanding and accepting the fact you said.
Yeah.
Two things a day.
Yeah.
So that we are the servant of Krishna. So to understand this, that includes understanding of Krishna to some degree.
Yeah, sambandha gyan.
So I was thinking, from my observation, I mean, we all have this kind of almost not fear but uncertainty to fully surrender, because we may think Krishna may just take my free will and I'll become a slave without free will or something like that.
Yeah, we have this fear of surrender because of our experience in the material world.
Yeah, so when I was reading Krishna book, I was trying to convince myself to at least understand how Krishna actually is not evil. There is no evil motives behind this.
Right. He wants the best for you.
Yes. And then I was observing all the demons that he kills. Is basically all of them, they attack him. He's not going around just like a psychopath killing
people. No, he just doesn't go around killing people.
It's amazing how every time demon comes, he just responds to an attack.
That's right. He just responds.
And the only one thing is different is with the washerman, where the washerman.
Yeah. Well, he attacked verbally.
Verbally, yeah.
He attacked verbally.
But it looks like an overreaction. So even this kind of things can think, so what would you say in terms of that case specifically of the washerman?
The washerman. Well, again, his previous life is told in the Garga Samhita, I believe. I think it's Garga Samhita. That in the previous life, he was the person who was blaspheming Sita. And but he was a devotee, but he wanted to see the Lord. But he didn't, he had because he had offenses. He had offenses to Mother Sita. Therefore, he got the fruit. Even though he was a devotee, he was engaging in devotional service, but due to his aparad, then he had to suffer. But he got killed by Krishna, so then everything finished. Because of that, he was a devotee and had a desire to see the Lord. But unfortunately, he made a mistake of Vaishnava aparad. And so therefore, he had to reap the fruit of that. So we should be very careful.
So that's amazing.
Yeah.
Vaishnava aparad can actually be carried through lives.
Oh, yeah. It goes. You carry it with you. Yes, it can be carried. Just like we carry impious activities, so we can carry that. If we don't counteract it, if we don't beg forgiveness, if we don't... So that's why it's very important in this life to beg forgiveness for our offenses. Whenever when I stay in somebody's house or I eat at somebody's house, often the Indian person will say, please forgive our offenses. If we made any offenses, please forgive. So culture is there. And I've seen statements on the internet by people, please forgive any offenses I've done to anyone. I've seen even in different devotees' books that please forgive any offenses. It's important. Prabhupada, he gave the example. He was on his deathbed and he said to his godbrothers, please forgive my offenses, because he would sometimes criticize his godbrothers, even in his books. And his godbrother said, no, you never committed any offense. So this is we have to be careful. And usually, you want to clear it up before you die. Otherwise, you can... Yeah, all of these demons, they had a previous history. And many of them were not demons. They just were cursed, you know. You do a mistake. Who was Arishtashura? He was sitting like a bull in front of his guru, and his guru cursed him, become a bull. Arishtashura. And he was okay bull, but then he got into bad association with some demon bulls. So, anyway, happens. Yes, your question. Yes, give yourself. What does it mean to give yourself to Krishna? Yeah, so we have Nectar of Devotion, and it explains to us what it means to engage in devotional service. So there's three ways that we engage: by body, by mind, and by words. So when you give yourself, there's two ways of doing it: mechanically or not mechanically, with love, with taste, with taste or without taste. So when you give yourself to someone, it's not a mechanical thing. It's like in the beginning, I think it was Satsri Maharaj who brought a mango for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, if you love me, I love you also. The Lord reciprocates with us. So the most important thing, if we want to give ourselves to Krishna, is that our mind must also be there. Even when we do, not only when we chant, but when we do any service, then we should be there mentally, and also we can be chanting, we can, word, body, mind, and words, and that's the sannyas. That we should also, everybody can be sannyasi, even if you're a grihastha. If you use your body, mind, and words in the service of Krishna, then you're liberated. That's the definition of liberation. So when you love somebody, you want to give your whole self. So we need to think, how can I give my whole self to Krishna? And so these are the different... We don't want to be mechanical. And Satchinandan Swami, His Holiness Satchinandan Swami, says that there's a gap between what we believe and what we experience often, and how to close that gap. And what, he gives us three things. And one of those three things is to pray for bhakti with taste. Pray for bhakti with taste. And we can close that gap between our theoretical knowledge and our experience, our practical experience, our faith. So, and I'll give you all three things. One is to improve your sadhana. One is to pray for bhakti with taste. And the last one is very interesting, take a risk. Take a risk for Krishna. Because that's when your faith increases. You do something that's beyond your faith. As he was saying, we might not have the faith that Krishna might take away my free will, he might do this. But the fact is, we'll get more free will if we surrender. Now, as long as we're under the laws of material nature, then our free will is taken away. And the more we surrender, then the more free will we have, the more control we have. We become master of the senses. And now we're servant of the senses. And when we become master of the senses, then we have more free will. The more we become a recognized devotee, then the more free will we have, the more Krishna gives us things to do for him. The more responsibility he gives us, the more that we surrender. It's the opposite of the material world. The more you surrender, the less free will you have. And in the spiritual world, the more you surrender, the more free will you have. It's completely different. Our fear is because we just judge everything by our material experience and our concept of things in this material world. But the spiritual world is completely different. The more you give, the more you get. Here, the more you give, the more you lose. I mean, because you just have so much of something, and then you give it all away, and you have nothing. But love of God is not like that. The more you give, the more you get. This one of my godbrothers, is Karanamrita, Give to Live. He has a book, Give to Live, all about giving. It's a wonderful book. So, we have any other questions? Comments? Yes?
Sometimes it's very hard to notice the greater man offense.
I can't hear you properly. Can you speak?
Sometimes it's very hard to make to see us that we make offense. We may be proud, arrogant, and we can't immediately can make a mistake. And out of pride, we may not even ask.
Well, first of all, you're talking about, sometimes you do it and you don't realize it. Sometimes you're proud and you make an offense and you don't realize it. So Lord Brahma, he had that same fear. He prayed to the Lord, so he prayed to Krishna in his prayers, which I gave that seminar a month ago. He said, to please protect me. He had two requests. Please protect me from fall down due to pride, and due to deviation. Two things that Lord Brahma was afraid of. And Prabhupada in the purport says we should incessantly pray for protection from fall down due to pride and due to deviation. Deviation, the verse says deviation from the Vedic sound. That means deviation from the instructions of the spiritual master, because that's how we get the Vedic sound, is the instructions of the spiritual master. What do we know about the Vedas? Who knows? I mean, we're not qualified to study Vedas, but we got the instruction from the Parampara coming from Srila Prabhupada, and that's the essence of the Vedic. The Vedas say tamasima, jyotirgama, don't go to the darkness, go to the light. So what is the light? According to the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, the light is the instruction of the spiritual master, because now we're in the darkness of this material world. Where is the light? The light is the instruction. If we follow this light, then our path is open. And that's what Prabhupada said in my initiation letter. If I follow these six instructions, path will be open back to Godhead, back to home. So we have to go to the light. Take the instruction, and when you forget, then remind yourself that, yes, this is important. Yeah?
Bhakti Tamara, just to say, sometimes you have to remind yourself to rejoin this call.
Yeah. Our children have a problem because they're born in ISKCON. And so they haven't experienced the outside world. They think, what are we missing? So they have to join also. But it's not like even you're here by birth, it's not enough. They also have to join ISKCON. And sometimes it's the same for the older devotees, because we gave our youth to Krishna. And then you go through your midlife crisis thinking, oh, what did I miss? I should now enjoy, perhaps, what I missed. That is, the hormones are working, just like when you're a teenager, when you have changed your body to old age. It's not too late now. I'm not over 50, or I'm not over 60, or I'm not over 70. now we're over 60 already, so yeah. Most of us are over 60 from Prabhupada's time. So that it can happen with us, that we have to rejoin ISKCON. And many did go away. Many of my god brothers and god sisters did go away, and they had to rejoin ISKCON. They financed a whole different ISKCON than before. Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Jai Shri Prabhupada, or glories to Shri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Thank you. It's being recorded. Yeah. I'm recording. Not really. I mean, I can give them. I have to change.